Perhaps you have seen the license plates that will have two teams on it, and then there'll be like a line sort of jagged down through the middle. You'll have maybe Louisville and Kentucky, and then the license plate will say House Divided, right? Well, at the Kauffman House, we support two college sports teams, but it's not a house divided. Instead, we like to think about it as a house united. You see, we cheer for both Kentucky basketball and Georgia football. Now, some of you may not know this, but I graduated from the University of Georgia. And our oldest three were all born in Athens, Georgia. I've always told them that they were born directly across the street from Sanford Stadium, which is not entirely accurate. The hospital is actually a couple of miles away from the stadium. But regardless, we cheer for Georgia football. And then my wife, Karen, was born here in Lexington. And her parents have had UK men's basketball season tickets for a very long time. And so Karen has great memories from her childhood of going to watch the Cats at Rupp Arena. And so we cheer for Kentucky basketball. In some ways, it's the best of both worlds. Most seasons, both of our teams are ranked in the top 10. Some of our friends don't like it that we cheer for both. They think we should cheer for all of Georgia or for all of Kentucky. But that's not who we are. That's not how Team Kauffman rolls. We're a house united. And one thing that I've noticed cheering for both teams is that Georgia football fans and Kentucky basketball fans have something in common. Generally speaking, fans of both programs place unrealistic expectations on our teams. I confess that I've done it for both teams, and perhaps you've done it for your favorite team. Came across a great quote this week in a book I was reading that caused me to think about how we do this with our sports teams. The author wrote these words: "Unrealistic expectations cause unrest." And isn't that true? Unrealistic expectations can cause unrest for coaching staffs and players and fans alike when it comes to sports teams. Well, in our text today, here in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is going to address the unrest that's caused by unrealistic expectations, not for our sports teams, but for our lives. Open your Bibles, if you haven't already, to Matthew chapter 11. We're just going to be looking at one verse in our text today, verse 28. During this season of Advent, as we anticipate and prepare for celebrating the birth of Jesus at Christmas, I'm going to be preaching from this text. These six verses contain these four sets or pairs of adjectives, and I'm going to allow these adjectives to guide us through our series. Last week, in verses 25 through 27, we looked at the pair wise and learned. Today, we're going to look at weary and burdened. Next week, gentle and humble. And then the fourth week, easy and light. Wise and learned, weary and burdened, gentle and humble, easy and light. And so, the pair today is taken from verse 28 and is weary and burdened. Let's just read this verse again together. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." I'm calling this verse the Christmas invitation. This morning, we're going to spend our time thinking about this grand invitation. And it begins with the word come. Come is such a glorious word. come is Jesus' invitation to his very first followers in Matthew chapter 4. 2,000 years later, the invitation to come in Matthew 11 is still for his followers today. And the invitation to come is actually the last word in the Bible for anyone who might have ears to hear. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, it reads, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." So Jesus' invitation is not do this or don't do that, but simply come. I love how the English word come is part of the larger word welcome. Because you see, to be invited by Jesus, to be invited by the Son of God, to come is the most welcoming invitation ever given. And the Greek word here translated come in this verse is found in the present tense. And so the invitation is to come presently. It's to come to him today. We have a little dinner bell in our kitchen, and on occasion we'll ring it when dinner's ready. And the ringing of the dinner bell sends out a clear invitation into our home, and that is, it's time to come. Not in 10 minutes, not tomorrow. Come. There was an older gentleman that I was reminded of this week in the church in Dalton, Georgia, where my dad preached when I was in high school. He was always asking people to come to church with him. And he got tired of asking people to come to church, and they're saying that they'll come when they get around to it. And so he had a pocket full of these wooden coins. They were a little larger than a quarter. And all that these wooden coins had imprinted on them are the letters T-U-I-T. And he would hand these coins to people and say, "Well, now that you got around to it, I want you to come to church with me." I mean, you can't make stuff like that up. That was his form of evangelism. And the Christmas invitation is to come, not when you get around to it. It's to come to him today. And so the implication of this, if we're to come now, if we're to come presently, is that Jesus is inviting us to come to him just as we are. Drop everything and come. Stop whatever you're doing and come. You don't have to get all dressed up. You don't have to get all cleaned up. You don't have to get all fixed up. You just have to get up and come today, just as you are. Jesus does not say, "Whoever comes to me feeling bad enough for your sin," or "whoever comes to me ready to redouble their efforts." The invitation is to just come. And the reason that I call this the Christmas invitation is because Jesus had to first come to us before he could invite us to come to him. You see, the incarnation had to happen before the invitation. Because the invitation to come is not to come to a place, it's not to come to an event, but it's to come to a person. So God had to first come as a person. And God coming as a person into our world is the glorious truth that we celebrate together at Christmas. God never meant for there to be a plan of salvation with steps for us to check. Instead, the plan has always been for salvation to be a person to whom we come. I love how one author puts it. He writes, "If you're looking for steps, then the Christian life boils down to these two steps. Number one, go to Jesus. Number two, see step number one." There's a great little book I read recently titled Gentle and Lowly. The title's taken from Matthew 11:29, which we're going to look at next week. The author's name is Dane Ortlund, and he writes something in his book that I found wonderful, and I wanted to share with you this morning. He writes, "There's no such thing as grace. It's bad theology to consider grace as a thing, like it's a kind of stockpiled treasure that can be accessed by us in some way. The grace of God comes to us no more and no less than Jesus Christ comes to us. In the biblical gospel, we are not given a thing. We're given a person. You see, the wonderful message of Christmas is that grace has a face. And the invitation to come to me is an invitation to come to the person of Jesus Christ. And this invitation is for all, which in the Greek language literally means everyone. Everyone is invited to come to Jesus. I love what the great 19th century English preacher Charles Spurgeon said about this word all, found here in Matthew 11:28. And this is just a side note. You can Google these and find these online if you're interested. But Charles Spurgeon preached a 12-sermon series just on Matthew 11:28, 29, and 30. And these are like, these would be like hour-long sermons. It's pretty amazing. But this is what he said about this word all here in verse 28. He said, "The all in Matthew 11:28 is God's merciful antidote for the horrible all of Romans 3:23. And I love that. And if that doesn't ring a bell for you, Romans 3:23 is where Paul said, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I love that. So what he's saying is Jesus' antidote for all having sinned is that all are invited. And so the invitation to come to Jesus is all-inclusive in the sense that it's for all people. And it's exclusive in the sense that according to Jesus, it's only for those who are weary and burdened. Most scholars think that weary refers to an internal exhaustion that you feel, and that burdened refers to an external weight you carry. And so it's both. And you know, I really can't think of a better way to describe how most people feel here at the end of 2020, then weary internally and burdened externally. You know, we're a lot of both. We're emotionally exhausted, physically tired, spiritually discouraged. And so what an opportune time in our history for people to hear the Christmas invitation. Perhaps there are friends and family members who would have never listened before, who would be open to the invitation today. Let's talk for just a moment about being weary and burdened. I shared at the beginning of my talk that unrealistic expectations cause unrest. The reason I wanted to share that quote this morning is because not only do I think we have unrealistic expectations for our sports teams, but I think we have unrealistic expectations for our lives. You see, in the context of Matthew chapter 11, if you study the context of 11 and into 12 when Jesus shares these words, he's specifically addressing the weariness and the burden that's caused by the religious leaders of the day who are using the law to put unrealistic expectations on the people. Later on in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 4, Jesus speaks more about this practice when he says, "The Pharisees crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden." And so Jesus is specifically addressing the unrealistic expectations put on the people by the religious leaders. But religion is not the only one guilty of this in our day. The world invents ways daily to put unrealistic expectations on us. And if we're honest, we do a pretty good job of putting unrealistic expectations on ourselves without the help of anyone else. If you ever feel like you're not good enough, or you're not smart enough, or you're not wealthy enough, or you're not good-looking enough, or you're not happy enough, then perhaps you're feeling the weight of unrealistic expectations. Next time you struggle with thinking or feeling like you're not doing enough, then let me encourage you to ask yourself this question: am I putting unrealistic expectations on myself? Because unrealistic expectations cause unrest. You know, we can even put unrealistic expectations on ourselves spiritually. A byproduct of our being in a relationship with Jesus is that we will become like him. This is a reality of being in a relationship with someone else. Whenever we spend time with someone else, we become like them. We see this in our relationship with our parents, our relationship with our best friends, our relationship with our spouses. When we spend time, a lot of time with someone else, we become like them, and the same is true of our relationship with Jesus. When we spend time with him, we will become like him. But we can even put unrealistic expectations on our becoming like him. Listen, Jesus' invitation to all in Matthew 11, 28, is not become like me. It's just come to me. Unrealistic expectations cause unrest. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. Jesus says, come to me. All of you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. If come to me is the Christmas invitation, then rest is the Christmas gift. Rest from our unrealistic expectations. Rest from our internal exhaustion. Rest from our external burdens. The word rest here, it means relief, or it can also mean release. And with this invitation to come to him, Jesus is inviting us to bring our internal feelings and our external burdens that we carry around with us, that we hold on to so tightly, that so work us up, that make us so anxious, that stress us out, that cause us to feel exhausted all the time. All of this unrest, so often caused by our unrealistic expectations. Come to him with all of it. All of the stuff that weighs us down. Listen, Jesus is not like the airline industry. The airline industry says you can't bring any of your bags on board. Jesus says, bring all of your baggage. There's no extra charge. Jesus says, come to me with all of it. All of your weariness. All of your burdens, and I will give you a safe place to set them down. This word rest means release. And Jesus says, release them at my feet. With Jesus Christ, nothing coming is required. We respond to the invitation first at our conversion, and then every day following our conversion until we're finally with him face to face for all of eternity. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful invitation, this Christmas invitation. During this season of Advent, we recognize that before the invitation, there is an incarnation. There's this wonderful gospel truth of God becoming one of us in Jesus Christ. And so, Father, my prayer is for anyone listening to this message today who has never responded to that glorious invitation of coming to Jesus, I pray, Father, that they will today, presently, go to him. And Lord, for those of us who've made that decision to come to Jesus, here at the end of this year, the end of the trials and the difficulties of this year, may we come to him again. Bring our burdens, bring our fears, bring our anxieties, and release them at his feet. thank you for this glorious invitation. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, use these words to work them through your faith community this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.